Hello, farmers, and welcome to the first episode of the harvest season in 2023. My name is Al.
My name is Cody.
And my name is Johnny.
And we are here today to talk about cottagecore games.
Woo!
Woo! I'm still not sold on that, if I'm definitely going down that route or not. But there we are, I've said it. So, welcome to year two of the harvest season. This is spring of year two. I can't believe the podcast has been going on for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Or mm-hmm. 1 year, depending on how you measure it.
Well, four in human years in the real world.
So wait, are we saying a season is a year?
Well, what I was doing was... 2019 was spring.
Okay.
2020 was summer. 2021 was autumn. And then 2022 was winter, because I decided it was 26 days in the season.
So really what you're saying, Al, is you didn't think this podcast was going to survive beyond 4 years, and yet here we are.
I think you'll find that the URLs have been prefaced with year one since the beginning.
It's this exciting, though, that it's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's a thing.
That we did with our lives.
Don't want to spend too much time thinking about that, but there we go. we're going to have some changes this year because I like to cause myself pain. So,
and spring the harvest is the season of change.
Spring is the season of change. New year, new us.
So starting now, which you may have noticed because it has only been a week since the last episode came out. So starting now, for some time period, I haven't decided if it's a permanent change or not, the harvest season will be a weekly podcast.
Woo!
Also, I'm trying to focus it on using the term cottagecore games rather than farming games, because we don't just focus on farming games, but I'm not changing the theming of the podcast. Like, the icon's still staying, the logo's still staying, it's still a corn.
I mean, I think the real big thing is that we can't say that we're a farming game podcast because you still refuse to cover Farming Simulator.
I never said I was going to cover every farming game.
But cottagecore allows us to cover more, and a lot of the ones that we're interested in playing that might not necessarily have quote-unquote farming.
Oh, and I think the genre's evolved a lot, right? Farming true. Games, you know, with Stardew was kind of the... Farming was the key thing, and now we see so many games where farming is a core component of the game, but not necessarily the main deal.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think it's actually going to change what games we cover. It's more about being more accurate to what we already cover. Like, if you look at last year, there were many games that we covered that weren't, like, considered farming games.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's... That's some changes happening to the podcast. Who knows how well it's going to go? But here we are, and we'll see how it goes. In this episode, we're going to talk about what's coming out in 2023. So yes, last week we looked at the previous year. This week it's a new year. It's 2023. We're going to cover what's coming out. Before that, though, we have a few bits of news. It's not a huge amount because obviously it's been, you know, Christmas. It's been great. Every day I've looked at my my Twitter list of stuff, and there's been like 4 tweets since the last time I looked. It's great. Almost nothing. Amazing. But before all of that, Cody, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Pokemon Violet. I'm still trying to beat it. I'm hitting this like wall where things keep getting more and more difficult. I only have to beat one more of the Team Star battle, the fighting one, and then I have to do one more, the psychic gym, and then I still have to go into the central area or whatever. But I haven't done any of that stuff. There's just so much to do in the game that I keep getting distracted.
Mm. Careful, don't talk about it too much in front of Johnny.
Hey, the conclusion that I came to is that I do, in fact, like that game as much as I hate that game.
There's just a lot to do. And, like, this is my classic thing in in Pokemon games, but also in like quote unquote open world games, is I tell myself, oh, I'm going to do this thing. And then I get distracted by another thing. Like at first it was, oh, I'm going to do the gyms. And then while I was over there, I got a really good Pokemon that would be used, excuse me, for the, gosh, what, the fairy type team star person. And so I was like, oh, I need to like upload or update this Pokemon and like get them evolved and everything and like leveled up so that I can go beat that. And then I got distracted again and I just keep doing that. Also, there's a question mark floating around on my screen on the Switch, and I can't figure out why. Like, if I change
a question mark, what do you mean?
Yeah, if I change the camera angle, there's just a random question mark. I'll have to send y'all a picture of it because it's real weird. But it's like it's almost as though there's an icon in the world that's trying to like tell me to go to an area, but I can't. Mm. I can't figure it out. It's weird. But that's all I've really been playing. I did try and pick up. I've kind of been boycotting Pokemon Go because I thought that the extra special weekend where like everything came back for Community Day, I thought that was like 1 or 2 weekends ago, but it was actually the weekend before that. So when I went to go play it, everyone had already played it. Like it was already done, but I've just been so busy with school. So that's me.
Fair enough. Johnny, what about you?
Well, I know you said this is going to become a cottagecore show, but let's be honest. 2023 for the harvest season is the year that we finally embraced just being a Marvel Snap podcast. It was the secret farming game of the year. I'm really disappointed you guys didn't discuss it last week, but farming those cubes, Marvel Snap is just like taken over everything. It's such a good game. It is the best mobile game to come out in years, in my opinion. Just been unlocking tons of cool cards. I got Mr. Negative. He is super fun to play with. Like, just really unique cards and just been snapping up a storm.
I'm in a real huff with Marvel Snap just now because it refuses to give me death. Like, I want death. I need death. And it refuses to let me have death.
We're just gonna clip play. That, Al, of you saying how much you need death, and that's gonna follow you around for the rest of your life. But I mean that is probably the biggest downside of the game is when there is that one specific card that you're looking for to make your deck work. It's not the easiest in the world to get it. Like no. It's kind of a function of time, which we have been trained to not be okay with.
Do you have to pay real monies to get more cards? Is it like one of those games?
No, you actually can't pay money to get cards, which is the weirdest thing about it. So like okay. there's a way you can get like a specific card every like 8 hours, but it uses a currency in the game that you cannot buy. I mean, there's occasional times where like just now there's one bundle that gives you 2,000 collector's tokens. Mm-hmm. But like you can't just buy the tokens themselves in any other way.
Means you're more likely to buy it when the bundle comes out.
Yeah. See, I've not bought the bundle because the bundle's like 90 quid or something stupid like that.
People are going to be paying it because they're going to be like, oh, I can't ever get this before. And I've just been grinding for death, just been begging for it. And
well, the issue isn't I have enough collector's tokens for death. That's not the problem. The problem is it's never showing up in the shop. So there's literally no way for me to get it. I can't pay for it. I can't get it.
Unfortunate.
I think it is one of the cool things about the game, though, because it does, like, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine that's really into Snap, and he was complaining about not being able to make certain decks. And then we looked through his collection, and he could make a bunch of really interesting decks, mm-hmm. but he was kind of just, like, looking online at, like, meta decks, and you know, those were the things that he was seeing. And the game really actually rewards and encourages, like, not building the same thing as everyone else, but building what you can with your collection, and it being competitive, right? Like it's not like you're building necessarily lesser decks. I'm sure at the very, very top levels they potentially are, but if you know what you're doing in that game, you can win or you can move up the ladder with a relatively low win rate or a deck that only works in specific circumstances. You just have to know when to retreat and know when to snap.
But Marvel,
yeah, that's
though.
True.
Other game I've been playing, I just want to mention quickly, is a game called Before We Leave. I'm not too far into it, but it's a very cute, kind of like, I wouldn't describe it as cottagecore, but it's like halfway between cottagecore and, you know, like a SimCity or, you know, a sort of more construction management style game. And it kind of just seems like, you know, humans are emerging onto the planet after, I assume, nuclear war. that maybe they reveal that in the actual campaign, but after some sort of world-ending event, and you're kind of rebuilding, and it has a lot of the sort of, you know, things that you would expect in a game like that. But the thing that sort of really pulled me in is it has a little bit of like a pollution mechanic. So when you build certain things, it will pollute tiles around them, which impacts people's happiness. And so it's not just, you know, kind of go forth and build. There's some interesting stuff to think about in that regard. So that's a cute little game that I've been playing.
And for people who are interested in that, I'm looking at it on Steam right now, and it's 65% off through January 5th.
Amazing. And it's also on Game Pass.
Fair enough. Well, I've been playing Pokemon Scarlet, still plodding through my Professor Oak challenge. Taking a wee break from it, just because I think doing too much of it at once can be a bit overwhelming. And with that time, I have been filling it in playing Sports Story, which just came out a few days ago, which is very fun. Have either of you played Golf Story, the first one in that?
Nope.
I have not played Golf Story, but I have watched Golf Story.
Right, okay, fair enough. I loved Golf Story. It was so fun, and Sports Story has been great so far.
I haven't.
So Golf Story was like a golf RPG. So it's like a 2D pixel art kind of game where you're playing a character who is just, you know, running around playing golf. He starts out as like a terrible golfer, and you have to kind of become a good golfer. And so the golf mechanics are kind of ridiculously simple, but also really fun. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's very self-referential, and what's the term I'm looking for? It's not really ironic, but it's just, it's kind of mocking the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, the humor's quite meta, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I really like that aspect of it. And so I'm not very far into Sports Story, but Sports Story is a sequel where there's more than just golf, so there's different sports in it.
Watching a trailer, and it looks like there's like a ton of different sports that they either reference or you do as part of this one. So,
yeah, so
I'm pleased to hear that it's...
It says you can raise your sporting rank to unlock new and varied activities like BMX, mini golf, cricket, volleyball, fishing, and more. Where's cricket simulator? I want that.
Nobody wants cricket simulator. Cricket simulator, just go and stand in a field for 8 hours, and there you go, you have cricket simulator.
Okay. But I do that.
See, this is we always in Scotland and New Zealand, we always talk about the similarities. And there's another one, is being right next to a neighbor who's obsessed with cricket.
Oh my gosh.
I've not gotten many of the sports down yet, because I literally started playing it like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. But you know, what I've played so far is it's got the same humor and fun in the story that I came to like in the first. And so I'm looking forward to that continuing. And, you know, if I guess the good thing about there being so many sports is that if one is rubbish, you're not doing it for the whole game. But I'm a little bit worried about maybe there being so many sports means that it's not as fun a game as a whole. But mm-hmm. I guess we'll see. I'm willing to see how this goes. But I'm enjoying it so far. And of course, I've been playing Marvel Snap because, you know, obsessed.
Farming game of the year 2023.
Not on my watch.
Cool. So let's talk about some news. So there was apparently some news, despite the fact that very little has happened in the last couple of weeks. But so first we have a new update for Bear and Breakfast has been announced. This is the Fantastic Winter Tiny Update, which is quite a name. it's out now on PC and coming to Switch later. We don't know when. Presumably that's dealing with the fun that is Nintendo processes.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of quality of life improvements, and a bunch of winter themed decorations.
Trying to figure out, okay, PC equals Windows.
In this case.
In this case. I do have the update queued, so I can do it. But just nice. To let y'all know, because I was like, wait, is this on Mac now? Can I play this on my Mac? Sure can't.
Classic.
Yeah.
Next, we have Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion is now on PlayStation, both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. So if you've been really wanting to play the game, but you were like, I'm not playing it until it's on PlayStation.
It's that time of year. We're all about to have to start thinking about taxes. If you really want to evade those taxes, don't do it in the real, but you could now do it on your PlayStation. Do y'all have actually, taxes? I don't know if that's an American
do thing. We have taxes? What a silly question.
Do you do it in January though?
Well, so I mean, taxes in America is quite a unique situation. Like most places that I know of, kind of the taxes are just happen. Like you don't really have to figure it all out and do all the maths yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have, because of like a few specific life situations, I have to do what's called a self-assessment here. But all that basically does is there's a few numbers that I give it of specific things that I have. And it goes, okay, here's what you owe or here's what we owe you based on what we didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
That like we don't, it's, yeah, no, it doesn't.
Well, that's what it is. So, because like we have income tax. Anyway, come to the greenhouse to hear about taxes in different countries. This is not the tax show. Sorry.
Also, no, it's April is the change of our tax year here.
Interesting. Well, I mean, we have until April, but it's 20. Okay. Anyway. I'm going to go down this rabbit hole forever if we keep talking about it, because I'm curious.
Turnip Boy commits tax evasion. Out now on PlayStation. Research Story has announced that their early access is coming February the 20th.
Woo! This is one that you recently sent to me, and you were like, does this interest you? The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So, yeah, this is a game where you are a scientist researching plants and animals, I think. Mm-hmm, yeah, both plants and animals. Other than that, it feels like a kind of standard cottagecore farming game. But there's an emphasis on the researching, which I thought sounds fun.
I do love that it says a farming sim in a fantasy setting, but this is just, it's just my life. Like, this is what I do. But yeah, it looks really cute. 2D farming, but with like really high quality character animation. Or not animations. What do they call it when like you click on the character and then they're
portraits.
Portraits. Character portraits. And then like the records that you make are really beautifully illustrated and stuff. Oh my God, there's a dog that looks like my new puppy. So yeah. Perhaps listen if this has... interesting to you, listen for a future possible, I don't know, episode that we might it might be covered. Stay tuned. Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Every week, Al, I'm like, I go on these little rants and I just see I'm just imagine your patience for me like waning.
Cody loves to promise things on the podcast.
Well, this is my podcast, so.
And I promise nothing.
I promised that I would like to cover this. That's my promise.
And finally, we have an update for Akka, which, you know, as the only thing anybody ever needs to know about this game is it's giant sleeping capybara game. It's mostly bug fixes and some quality of life improvements, plus one new feature, which is teleporting. But I've still not played the game, so I'm not sure what that means. But yeah, I do plan on playing it at some point.
Do we need to explain teleporting to you, Al?
That's the news!
Al, you really want this weekly?
Cody, I don't know what I want anymore.
Okay.
Tell you what I do want. I don't want to have this cold anymore.
Yeah. You want death. The card in Marvel Snap.
Don't we all. Okay. So we're gonna talk about the games that are currently slated or we are assuming in some cases will be coming out in 2023 because there's lots of complications here, right? So some of these games have exact release dates. Mm-hmm. Two of them have exact release dates. Mm-hmm. A few of them we're 100% confident will come out within the year because they only announced it like a month ago and they're mm-hmm. meant to be coming out in like the summer. We're pretty confident that they're coming out. Other ones have said, not explicitly said they're coming out this year, but mm-hmm. said they were coming out last year and didn't. So we're going to assume that they're coming out this year. And then there are ones that said several years ago that they were coming out this year, and they're probably not going to come out this year. But at this point, we're just going to assume they are for this conversation.
There's also a few that are in early access right now, but their 1.0 yes. is supposed to be coming out in 2023.
Yes. So, yes. We'll see. So we're counting them as releases. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are two releases for most games, early access release and 1.0 release. I do not care about all the other updates in between. They don't matter.
What about the Pro Alpha Silver Edition?
So we're going to go through this list of games. We're going to focus on the first seven or so that we are reasonably confident are going to come out this year. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a long list of, I think that's literally 28 other games, but I would need to count to confirm. We're just going to run through those names very quickly. And then each of us has picked out three games we are most excited for, and we're going to chat about those ones as well. Sound good?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 28. Good job.
Was I right?
You were right.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word. That was a guess.
Yeah, it was 28. You were right.
Amazing. Okay, so first we have One Lonely Outpost, which is coming out in March. It's coming out, we don't have an exact date for that one, but they've said March mm-hmm. for that one. So this is the Mars-based farming game, mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, when this one was announced, totally seemed like, oh, what a radical idea. It's been many years since then.
Yeah, I kind of feel that this game is... I think this is going to be an interesting year for cottagecore-style games. And for me, One Lonely Outpost is kind of the reason. Because when I look at this game, all I see is space Stardew Valley. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, that would have been great. I would have been really into space Stardew yeah. Valley. And now I feel like the genre has evolved enough that I'm just like, oh my god, we've done Stardew Valley enough times. Can we please not do Stardew Valley again? You need something else other than space Stardew Valley.
I do yeah. like the animatronic cow, though.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how it actually fares out. I'm definitely going to play this game when it comes out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I'm the same as you, Johnny. I'm not as excited as I was when it was announced. That's, I guess, the problem with announcing games so far in the future. But I mean, it doesn't happen for all of them, as we'll discuss later on. Next, we have Roots of Pacha. Hey, I said it right that time.
Pacha.
Which is coming out on the 25th of April this year. So we have an actual release date for that one.
Yay!
And this is, we're not going to focus too much on this one because that it may or may not be on someone's list. But this is Stone Age Stardew Valley. And then we have Story of Seasons, A Wonderful Life. Which is the remake of Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, which is both very old and very new at the same time. It's interesting because I think this game, although it's obviously a remake of a, 15-year-old game?
We don't drop the age on that game. I don't want to feel that old.
The interesting thing is, it still does things that almost no other game, no other cottagecore game does. With the,
I just want to say, in 2023, it'll be a 20-year-old game.
20!
No!
Wow.
Don't hurt my heart like this. I feel attacked.
But like, you know, there are still very few games that let you and, you know, everyone around you grow old and die, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a unique concept. I just worry that the world has moved past Story of Seasons. I played Pioneers of Olivetown, and for me, that game just felt massively out of date.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure a remake of a 20-year-old game at this point is really going to bring any excitement in 2023.
Do we know how well it's doing in Japan right now?
It's not out yet. I think it comes out in January.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what it's like there. But yeah, I mean, I look at the thing and I'm like, yep, I sure did play this game when I was younger, and I have no desire to play again. Though I'm sure Rochelle is happy.
Yeah, January 26th in Japan.
Okay.
Which, by the way, come on, would you sort out your global releases? We got a global release of Doraemon Story of Seasons. Can you not do it for these ones as well? It's baffling to me. I don't know why they can't get this right. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to play it because I never played the original. But we'll see how that goes. Next, we have the most anticipated game of the year. Harvest Moon: The Winds of Anthos.
Is that sarcasm?
What do you think, Cody?
I'm assuming because I had to Google this game.
I don't really know what to say about this game yet.
Yeah,
because we know nothing about it.
I'm fine blown past it. Like the wind.
Then we have Rune Factory 3 Special, which I'm sure some people are excited for. Because if you wanted to play this game, but you didn't want to play it on what it's on, is that a 3DS one as well, or is it a DS one? It is a DS game.
Sure is old. Sure is something that I don't know. I've never played a Rune Factory game. Have you played Rune Factory, Johnny?
No, I also have not.
Okay, yeah. We're big ol' boof.
And then we have Mineko's Night Market, which may or may not be on someone's list, so we're not going to talk about it too much. We don't actually know for certain. Do we know that's coming out this year? I think we know it. I think they've said it's coming out this year.
Yeah.
But they haven't said when.
They mentioned it in the snack.
Yes. In the snack.
Yeah, I was like, I should probably say what we mean by that. The wholesome snack.
And farm then, cats. Speaking of snacks, Snacko.
And cats.
Which Snacko, they seem less confident that it's coming out this year, but they have said that they're currently hoping to release this year. Mm-hmm. So that's the then there's a list of 28 others, which I'm just going to zoom through.
Woo!
We've got Mika and the Witch's Mountain, Terra Nil, Above Snakes, Cornucopia, Lightyear Frontier, Fae Farm, Cloudscape, Sprout Valley, Dragon Acres, Cloa, Child of the Forest, Petadachi, Wonderlost, Ever After Falls, Sunhaven, Arklands, Crittercrops, Little Witch in the Woods, Ova Magica, Elusive People, Moonhaven, Wholesome Out and About, Super Zoo Story, Pixel Shire, Moonstone Island, A Last Song, Distant Bloom, Spirit Tea, and Laudelnought.
Woo!
Lots I have games. To say, just before we get into the specific games, Laudelnought wins for, like, best name. I don't. There's just something fun about saying Laudelnought, and I'll probably end up buying it just because it says Laudelnought.
Oh my gosh.
I just love that we've got two games. We've got one called Sunhaven and one called Moonhaven. And we also have Sprout Valley, which, fun fact, did you know Sprout Valley was the original codename for Stardew Valley? We also have a game literally called Wholesome Out and About. We have got a lot of bad names in this game. We've also got, as well as Moonhaven, we also have Moonstone Island. There are many names in this list that are very interesting.
I guess you're saying Laudelnought is the best.
Also, good name, Petadachi. That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, 2023, we need to see some uplift in the names of these games, because this is a dire list to be putting it. And it makes it hard to search some of the information about these games. Some of these have really bad SEO on the basis of their names.
They really do.
Yep.
I particularly am annoyed by Lightyear Frontier, because not only is that hard to say, but they announced it like right around Lightyear the film came out, and so people were totally assuming it was a tie-in to that when they heard the name. No, it's nothing to do with Buzz Lightyear.
I mean, I thought Lightyear that when I saw this list 2 days ago and looked it up, I was like, wow, a Buzz Lightyear game? No, it's not.
Also annoyed by any game that has a subtitle.
Well, that's a lot on this list.
It is. Anyway, so that's a long list. Let's get into some specifics that people are excited about. So I think in the last episode, we went one game each rather than like going through them. So Cody, would you like to start off with one of the games you're most excited about?
Sure. I will start with Roots of Pacha. So I've been really interested in this game for a while, just because I like that time period, like, you know, the early human settlement time period thing, concept. And you're like building a group, but then also like building community with folks. But then they also have like a lot of really cool animals that you can tame. So like you can tame like mammoths and wolves and ostriches and like all of these crazy things. The character portraits, see, I remembered this time, look really nice. And it just, I don't know, it just looks like it's going to be really peaceful. So
the thing that I was most into in this game is the digging of trenches to go next to your farming plots. Not that I'm bored of sprinklers, but I'm really into that idea of that being a way to automate the watering of your crops. I think it's aesthetically pleasing. It means I can build my fields in the way I want to build them without having to account for sprinkler placement. That was the thing, like, really small thing, but that was the thing that was like, okay, this might be the Stardew clone that gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. The end.
I think my biggest question about this is how they're going to do the whole, it's like the economy type thing. So obviously, you know, we've discussed before the idea of like, you know, anti-capitalist games and stuff like that. Like, this is before capitalism. So how are they dealing with that? Are they just going to ignore that and just pretend that capitalism exists? Or are they actually going to do something proper where like you are working as a community, everybody building up the community in different ways, and you're just part of that. And so you are contributing to the common good rather than trying to make lots of money.
I mean, that's the vibe that I get. And being able to play with your friends as well is really cool. Like race your friends with all of your different character or creatures that you're riding. So it seems to me like there's not like a, I haven't seen anything that's like, go to this person and buy this thing.
Equally, they haven't shown what the alternative is. And I'll just be interested to see how it goes, because like, I'm a little bit worried that because they obviously talk about like, you know, you're inventing new things and evolving as you go. And I hope they don't just go there, hey, you've invented capitalism, congrats.
You did it. Woo. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's my first one. What about you, Johnny?
So the first game I want to talk about is Terra Nil. And I think this will sort of like hit, I guess, what I think I'm looking for out of farming games in 2023, or cottage core games, which is games that kind of have something to say. A lot of the games that we talked about at the sort of the start of the list, I'm just not excited about any of them because it feels like it's treading over the same ground that's been well-trod. There's plenty of good games that sort of hit those notes. And the ones that are coming out, I don't feel have that much that is interesting to say. And so Terra Nil ostensibly looks like quite a relaxing game where you are restoring the planet. Doesn't seem like you have a character as such. It seems more closer to the management sim style game, but looks way more relaxing than a management sim style game.
Yeah, I think that's my, so I'm similar to you. I quite like the difference that it's doing, and not only is it like you're you know, rebuilding a barren landscape, but I believe you're then, the idea is you then pack up and leave once you're done, trying to leave like no human stuff behind. But yeah, like I'm the same as you. I want to see, you know, we've discussed before, I'm not a huge fan of management sims because they tend to be more stressful than what I'm looking for, and so I would really like if it was, you know, that calm management style game. That sounds like a fun combination of things, because I've always kind of liked management games. Like, I loved Roller Coaster Tycoon, and I liked Sim City and these sort of things, but like, especially as I'm getting older, I want less of the stress in my games. So if I can have that kind of feeling in a game, but with the calmness of a standard cottagecore game, I'd really like that.
Yeah, and this is why Terra Nil stood out to me, you know, playing Before We Leave, as I mentioned earlier. To me, I'm starting to feel some of the management, some stress coming into that. And then when I was looking into Terra Nil, I was like, oh my god, this is the game that I want Before We Leave to be. It's just taken all of that stress out of it. And the idea of restoring the planet seems really fun and really appropriate right now.
Mm-hmm. I remember us talking about this a long time ago on the podcast, and it being something that I was really looking forward to. Just like, because, yeah, finding ways, like ecosystem reconstruction is something that I try and do in my real life with pollinator meadows and pollinator gardens, and making sure that we're supplying but also restoring areas to native plants. So this is kind of it's kind of like being able to do that on the big scale.
Yeah, it looks like we first talked about this in June 2021. So. Yeah,
I will say that does reduce my confidence that it's going to come out this year. but I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Look, this is not a what are we most expecting to come out this year.
What are we most excited about?
My top game that I'm looking forward to this year has to be Snackle. And I am not 100% confident this game is coming out this year because, you know, let's just say we want the game to be good. I do not want the developers to rush and get this game out. But you know what indie games tend to do? They tend to delay. So if you're going to assume that it delays, that's probably safer to be incorrect. But I'm probably above 50% sure that the game will come out this year, based on things that I've seen. I mean, the interesting thing about this game is that maybe it was three years ago that I first got to play a really early build of this game. And even then, it was so stable, and like it was very definitely like they were building around a small version of the game that they were making good and then building on top of that, rather than like, let's build everything, but it's horribly buggy, and then spend 3 years trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their biggest thing is whether they've completed everything or not, rather than is it stable enough to release, which is always encouraging. But yeah, I'm really excited about this game for many reasons. I love how it looks. I love the this was the first game that I actually enjoyed placing things in my house, like decorating my house, because it did it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And also just the developers are cool people, we like them, so mm-hmm. Looking forward to this game.
I don't have anything to add because it's just same, like really excited for Snacko.
I mean, I guess I'll add to it because it's my turn again, and my second pick is Snacko. I mean, yeah, so this was also a game that we had the developer on the podcast, and I remember listening to that and talking to them and stuff, and how it was just really, you know, we've been excited about it for that long. I love following her Twitter and seeing like her cats, which like one of her cats is the muse, or like the model for the cat that you play, I guess. But it's just also just like a really cute game. I've always really liked her. Really, she has a very unique animation style, and I really enjoy that. And I enjoy having watched her journey and seeing how she's been making improvements to the game and how things have been changing. And so, yeah, I feel like at this point, it's a lot like Apico in my heart, where like it's less that in addition to this is a cool game that I'm interested in on its own, it's like, wow, this is a cool game that like I know the person who's making it, and I'm, you know, so proud of them for everything that they've been doing, and I'm excited to support them and super, super enjoy a game. So that's why it was my second choice, but also because you get to play as a cat and the fishing mechanic looks really cute.
It's also done the thing that a lot of games haven't done, which is it was announced years ago, but mm-hmm. I'm still excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel dated. It doesn't feel like they announced it 5 years ago, you know?
And it doesn't feel like anyone's done what they're trying to do.
Yeah, no one
exactly, yeah.
Scooped them or anything, yeah. So, yeah, that's why it's my number two. So, Johnny, what's your number two?
My number two is Above Snakes. Mm-hmm. And I guess before I talk about this game, small caveat, part of what appealed to me about this game is it looked like it was either inspired by or heavily influenced by Native American culture. Mm-hmm. And so I did some looking into whether or not there were, you know, people with descendancy or expertise in that culture working on the game. And the only comments I've been able to find from the developer is happy to talk to people or look into it further in that kind of, I think the show has a well-established stance on that kind of not being okay. And so I want to throw that caveat out here that did temper my excitement for this game a little bit, but it is a sort of tile building survival exploration game. And the idea of like you sort of exploring tiles and you kind of get to pick the next tile combined with the survival and building elements kind of stood out to me as being kind of interesting and cool. I'm typically not a big fan of survival games, but this one with the amount of choice that you have in terms of what tile you place down, alongside sort of maybe being a little bit simpler from a gameplay perspective, was like, oh, this feels like it's trying to do something interesting. But I have to say, before I purchase it, I would want to see, like, yes, we have consulted and, you know, paid for the services of appropriate cultural representation. So, yeah. Was excited, still left it on my list because I really wanted to, you know, talk about the idea of the game, but tempering that with the, I'm not sure that this is the game that I will actually spend money on this year.
Yeah, I think that was something when we first brought it up in the podcast, that was like the first thing that we talked about, or the main thing that we talked about. I was like, wow, this looks really cool. Hope they're not doing cultural appropriation. Like, sure hope that they have someone doing that. Like, someone that is part of that culture that makes sure that it's being represented accurately and not inappropriately. So, still hoping that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I agree. I do think that they have, since it was announced, they have become part of Critical, I don't know how to say, which is like a game publisher. So presumably as part of that, they'll be giving them other support. And I'm hoping that part of that would be behind the scenes, them doing this work. So I think that it not being visible at this point doesn't mean it isn't happening. I do think that obviously at the beginning, I agree, the very little that we saw made me assume that it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. But with the progress that's happened, I'm hoping that behind the scenes something is happening. Because, I believe the developer is a single person, or was at least at the beginning a single person from Germany. So certainly not the person you would assume that has the most knowledge about a Native American cultures. Because of course the other thing is that there isn't a Native American culture, which is, I think, a problem that lots of people fall into, is they go, oh yeah, well, you know, this is Native American, and you're like, but what is Native American? You know, you're it's not a single monolith. That many cultures, I mean, no culture is a monolith, obviously, but like if you look at what, you know, traditional Scottish cultures were, they are much more monolithic than something that spans a huge continent like North America.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like if we were to be like, here is a early European peoples, and then of course you're like, but wait, there's like so many more than just, like, you cannot encapsulate all of those cultures just by saying early European. And so that's just making sure that there is that representation would be great.
Yeah. And I just want to call out this game because it does look cool. And if they do the work and, you know, I guess, you know, make it transparent that they've done the work, then, and there's still plenty of time for them to do that work. So, you know, I'd be pretty excited about the concept of what this game is trying to do. And if for a small, you know, if it's single person or even if it's grown a little bit, the the building looked really good in this game. Like, really satisfying, sort of snappy. I don't know. There was something really visually appealing about this game.
Yeah, I agree. We'll have to see. And I suspect we'll be covering the game at somehow, in some way. Exactly what that is, I do not know. But we will not be just kind of ignoring our current and past concerns when the game comes out for listens. So we'll see how that goes. Well, I guess my next one is 30 Seasons of Wonderful Life. Obviously, neither of you two are as excited as I am. I wouldn't say it's the most excited I have been about a Story of Seasons game. But I am looking forward to playing a game that has... I think the thing about A Wonderful Life is it... I think I've mentioned this before. It feels like it was the foundation for so many people's excitement for the genre as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, for many people, this was their first real farming or cottagecore game that led them out onto this world that they now spend so much time in. And I never played it back then because I didn't know about these games then. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what that was like and what a, you know, modern remaking of that game can look like. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it will feel dated. Maybe it won't. But I'm excited to see how it turns out.
I mean, that can be part of the fun, right? Is you don't necessarily have to be excited for a game because it's going to be good. You can be excited because it could be really good, or it could be a train wreck. And sometimes playing a train wreck can be fun. For an example of that, see the most recent Pokemon games.
Oh,
I was going to go for a more kind of universally accepted train wreck, which is Harvest Moon One World. But yeah, sure, we can go with that if you want.
You went there.
Cody, your list is done.
Yeah, my list. Two of mine were also on y'all's list. So my third one is Terra Nil. And I'm actually, the developer is playing it right now on Steam. So I've been watching it live, like while recording. And it just looks really cool. And like at one point, so he just developed, this little wetlandy area and then like a plains area, and there a bunch of deer just showed up at the plains area, so now there's like all these deer running around, and it's really satisfying to watch, and I'm able to head empty, no thoughts. So
that's just reminded me of a thing I wanted to mention about Terra Nil. It's a South African developer, and that's one of the things that is exciting to me about sort of the industry that's popped up around cottagecore is it feels like we're seeing a lot more diversity in where the games are coming from as well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
which is one of the exciting things I think about the list of games for 2023 is it's not just the same games from the same publishers that we've seen for years on years.
Yeah, yeah. And even last year we got one from Mexico. There was, I think, a couple from Australia. Mm-hmm. Not the most, you know, diverse list of countries, but certainly more than just your Japan and America's and Europe standards that you always get.
I'm watching him pack up everything that he just used to restore the world right now. Yeah.
Right, Johnny, I want to know why you're so excited about this next one.
So my last game on the list is Wholesome Out and About, and I'm not excited about it for the name, because it's just a terrible, terrible name.
Especially when Wholesome Games talks about it. It just becomes even more confusing then.
But this game is about identifying mushrooms and bringing those back and using them to make meals and make potions, I think. But what I really, I guess, wanted to highlight in this game and sort of talk about is I mentioned that I want games that have sort of something to say in the coming year. And the thing that I like about this is that it's bridging that gap into the sort of educational space where it's actually using real world mushrooms. And you know, I do a lot of hiking and spend a lot of time outdoors, and we walk past tons of mushrooms and we're like, can we eat this one? I don't know. So I'm kind of personally excited to learn to identify mushrooms through the form of a video game. That is why I'm excited about this one.
Do they have like a disclaimer that's like, do not consume mushrooms, do not, like, do not.
I am sure they do. I just will choose to ignore that. And but I even think the idea of, like, you know, because this is a cottagecore game, you know, there's no, well, from what I've seen, there's no farming in this game. It's just go out and walk and identify mushrooms. And, you know, to me, that's sort of the great thing about where this genre of video games has got to, is you can go laser focused in on a specific aspect like finding mushrooms, and that's now enough to sustain a full game. So I'm excited for this.
It is very niche. I do think this game lives and dies by how accurate it is.
Yes. If it's so- if it kind of just hand waves the mushrooms, or they're not great equivalents of the real world counterparts, you know, if you Google images the mushrooms and see something kind of different, I think this game falls over. But again, I'm excited to see whether or not it lands what it's trying to do.
Yeah, we need to find a mushroom expert for that episode. Cool. My final one is Mineko's Night Market, which, out of the ones that we've got on the you know, these seven games that we've talked about specifically here, I think is probably the one I'm, well, maybe other than Story of Seasons, the one I'm most confident is coming out this year. Because they, before, so I think, oh my word, I think this game we first covered on the first episode of the podcast.
Really?
Like, I think we knew about it all the way back then. And I think it's the only game that we knew about at the first episode of the podcast that isn't out yet. So I'm excited for this to finally come out in 2023. And I hope that I'm not doing this in a year's time saying I'm excited for Mineko's Night Market to come out.
But you'll still wait for it. It's one of those games that you're going to wait for.
I will. I will.
Yeah, I'm calling it now. Our list next year will still have Snacko, and it will still have Mineko's Night Market.
Yeah, on the list, I commented saying that Snacko was on my list this time last year. But I'm not calling, I wasn't wanting to call him out for it, because, like, I think it's probably pretty legitimate. But Mineko's Night Market, I've specifically said it's coming out 2023, but they also said it was coming out 2019. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the thing I'm most excited to find out about is the grammar in their initial thing wrong, or are you actually going to eat cats? That's what I just want to find out.
Oh my goodness.
I think we talked about this a while ago, but yeah, the blurb for Mineko's Night Market is, Mineko's Night Market is a narrative-driven social simulation adventure game that celebrates Japanese culture while encouraging players to craft, eat, and ultimately enjoy all the cats. And I'm not sure what the object of that whole sentence is the same, or whether it's you're just enjoying all the cats and you're also crafting and eating other things. So we'll find out. I'm excited to find out.
I personally hope it's about eating the cats, mostly just because that would be a wild way for this game to go.
No.
Oh dear. It does have the Oxford comma, so I'm going to assume at this point that you are not eating the cats.
That was going to be my next question, whether or not an Oxford comma was in that sentence.
It is craft, comma, eat, comma, and ultimately enjoy all the cats. So, assuming that they understand what the Oxford comma is for, that would imply that you are not eating the cats. And I would assume that if somebody's using an Oxford comma, they do generally know what it's for, because you don't tend to use it unless you know it, because otherwise people just assume you don't put a comma there, because that's, like, kind of what you're taught when you're a kid. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't trust anybody with commas. People throw them in all sorts of random spaces where they do not belong. So, as much as I would like to agree with you, Al, who actually knows? But back on Mineko's Night Market, I'm also very excited for this game. You know, I feel like Night in the Woods was one of the best games, and I get a lot of sort of similar vibes, I guess, in terms of how I expect this game to play out. But the visual style of this game is just incredible. And it doesn't... there are other things that sort of have similar-ish art styles, but nothing to really this level. Like, it looks like a fully realized, brought-to-life children's book. Like, and that's not talking down about it. It's just so bright and simple. And yeah, I am really excited about this game. And I would have put it on my list, but Al already had it on his.
And we couldn't have too many similar ones.
That didn't stop me. I mean, my thing is I just went through the list and then I was like, oh, these are my three favorites. And then I saw that two of mine overlapped y'all's. And I was like, oh, no. But such is life. Yeah, it looks like a cute game. I'm trying to remember, trying to realize what it reminds me of, but I don't know. It looks very cute. I'm excited to hear y'all cover it, and then I'll probably cover it on a second harvest or something. We'll see.
Oh, did you just announce the second harvest on the podcast before I could?
I'm sorry, what is the second harvest?
Thanks,
Al?
Cody. I'm not going to tell you just now, and I'm going to let people... theorize about that, although I'm pretty sure it's probably obvious what it is, but I'm going to let people theorize about that without announcing it, because you'll find out soon what the second harvest is. Cody's just wanting to take this podcast over.
I don't, I just, I say things and then my brain catches up.
So that's the games we're most looking forward to in 2023. Come back this time next year to see how many of them actually came out.
These are the farming / cottagecore games they're most excited about.
Yes.
And I will just say, on the list of games, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming out this year, right? Like, go back and some of the ones that, you know, Al read out in the list, look up some of them, because there's some cool stuff coming out this year, and it was really hard to pick just three.
I know we have talked about a lot of these on the podcast before, so they should be on folks' radar.
Yeah, I think we've talked about every single one of them at least once on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I will have links to every single game in that list in the show notes.
Wow.
Because
that's
a
lot of games.
And punishment. But that is what I will be doing. So if you want links to any of them, they will be in the show notes. Mm-hmm. I was just having a quick look to see. So... Last year, the equivalent this episode, where just trying to see if any of those other games were not released. So I had Snacko, Coral Island Early Access, and Apico. Two of them came out. Mm-hmm. Cody had Apico, Coral Island, and Bear and Breakfast. All of them came out. Mm-hmm. You also had Patcha and Terranil as honorable mentions. Neither of them came out.
No,
and then Kevin
on this one.
Kevin had Rune Factory 5, Patcha, and Mineko's Night Market. Only one of them came out.
Oh, no.
I actually feel like that's a pretty good hit rate for games coming out. Like, this year? We're recording this in 2022. It's very confusing for my brain.
No, it's 2023.
last year was the game of the year of games being delayed. So hopefully we get a better hit rate this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not, I mean, in terms of the ones that, you know, we talked about, most of them did come out, except Kevin's list.
I mean, I'm good with only one of them, or maybe two of them coming out. My wallet would thank me. Less of them came out. So.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining me, Johnny and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, listeners.
It's been fun to talk about the games coming out.
Thank you, listeners, for listening. If you want to follow us on the hell site that is Twitter, you can find me at the Scott Bot. You can find Cody at Cody Mathis. I believe Johnny isn't on Twitter.
Correct.
Is there anywhere you want them to find you on the internet, or do you not care?
No. Instead of finding me on the internet, go outside.
I will add that if folks are interested in finding me on Instagram, I will shout out my Instagram. It is Hiking Beagle. And I will shout it out specifically because that is where all of my new puppy pictures will be. So if you want to see Stella the Aussie's journey through me and my life, and together also with my beagle Remus, that's where you can find me.
And you can find the podcast on Twitter at THSPod. At least you could at time of recording. Who knows if you can or not. You can email us from our website. That will work. HarvestSeason.club, where you can also find a link to the Patreon, which has regular bonus episodes of the podcast. It's not going to be exactly the same as it was last year because we are now a weekly podcast, but there will still be bonus episodes. The next bonus episode of the podcast on Patreon will be us three talking about our favorite 2023 games that are not farming / cottagecore
and taxes games.
And apparently we're going to talk about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, just before we finish, this is the first episode of this podcast that has three people across different continents, assuming that you subscribe to any of the standard continent views of the world, the mm-hmm. 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 view continent of the worlds. If you have one of the more weird niche ones, then maybe we've already hit three continents, but most of you probably subscribe to one of them.
Do we want to say what our local times are?
Oh, of course, that would be quite funny. Yeah, so it's currently just after 8 p.m. my time.
It is 3 p.m. my time.
And 9 a.m. for me.
9 a.m. in the future!
That's why Johnny's confused about what year it is.
he's closer to the new year than we are.
I do always find the different continental views of the world quite amusing, but let's not get into that just now.
Okay.
I think that's everything. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. Until next time, have a good harvest. The harvest season is created by Al McKinley, with support from our patrons, including our pro farmers, Kevin and Stuart. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, harvestseason.club, for show notes and links to things we discussed in this episode. I was re-listening to a bunch of the old episodes because I'm putting them on YouTube. And apparently when we started, it was just Rochelle who said, "Have a good harvest." And I went, "Woo," at the end. We didn't both say it. I don't know when that happened, but apparently so. There you go.